The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful Thursday morning. I'm your host, John Nevers. Appreciate everybody listening in. Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, also in studio with me today. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. Full show today. Oh. Lots of guests coming in.
Yep.
Besides Nick Mason.
Yep. I think I'm going to stand up the entire show.
No, you're not.
No, yeah.
Is that what's the only thing that's going to keep you from falling asleep during the show?
Yeah. I went to bed about 3:30, and Tommy knows a little bit of my pain. And through the lane today, I'm dedicating it to officials and referees. I have all new respect. I'm never going to cuss at any of you guys ever again.
Yeah.
No, whether I'm sitting on my couch or I'm in my men's league, I'm never going to tweet out, hey, somebody get, because everybody knows I'm famous for tweeting out, hey, please somebody call Kraft and his brothers and tell them to quit blowing their whistle. And I tweet that out all the time.
What happened?
And I have been up for hours texting any and everybody in the state of Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma trying to officiate this basketball tournament that I'm not even going to be here. I'm going to be at, and hey, we might as well
be in Jonesboro.
Might as well get a live read in right here. I'm going to be in Jonesboro for the event in Jonesboro.
Wait a minute. You got two events going on this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know who, man. I think my fiance scheduled that. Because she just kind of thinks like, oh, double the money. So, like, let's just schedule as many of these things as we get in. And ask her what she's doing this weekend. She is the supervisor. And that's what she says her title is. So, she supervises us.
Well, you need a lot of supervision. Trust me. John can attest to that, I think, around here.
Yeah, he probably can.
Yeah, I'm one of the few people that can attest. But, yes, yeah, supervision is helpful.
But, yes.
Ariel's right. You need supervision.
Officials are
well.
Are
I'm available this weekend.
Nice and well. I mean, the problem is like if I pay you $300 a game, mm-hmm. and
the problem is what
some of your other buddies.
It's too little amount of money.
Some of your other buddies get word I paid you $300. They're gonna do like the Oklahoma teachers, and they're just gonna go on strike in the middle of the event. And as you know, the event has to go on. So then at that point, I'm at their mercy.
Sounds like a you problem.
Yeah.
By the way, Craddock, the offensive coordinator.
275 again.
Yes. On to the important stuff.
Yes, yeah.
I can rearrange a few things for $300 a game.
Yeah. See, you guys are wheeling and dealing here in the very first segment of the show. We haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet.
I told myself, I said, hey, I'm going to bring up these referees.
In fact, I can find you all the referees you need. I promise you, I can fill up the schedule at that price.
You, your wife, your son, can get you your daughter, all, can, your other daughter.
I can get all the referees you need at $300 a game.
Your friends.
I can promise you. My phone will start ringing any minute now if you want to make that deal.
Hey, well, hey, officials out there.
And you need them. What state do you want them from? Because I can get them from far and wide at that price.
Officials out there, I am making deals. So call the telephone number here. What's the number here?
You do not know the number? You answer the phones.
Every day.
So call
877.
There we go.
377.
There we go.
6963.
Okay, so call that.
What does this have to do with you being up till 3:30? Because you weren't talking to any of my guys at 3:30 in the morning, I promise you. We're too old and too slow and too...
Look. I got a call right now.
Exactly.
Sorry, I can't answer that because I got to get a referee.
Up till 3:30
I
got to
get a referee.
That's a bunch of nonsense is all that is.
At what point did this become the Nick Mason wheeling and dealing show?
Swap shop.
I mean,
hello, swap shop.
My goodness. Like, at what point did it come around?
Hey, listen, I normally don't do this, but I'm in a crisis right now. And I know I only have one segment. So I was like, okay, if I stand up, John's going to peek over at me and be like, what, Nick? And then as soon as he opens up that floodgate, I'm making it rain.
Yeah, I need to learn my lesson from this.
Yeah.
Just throwing it over to you.
And this isn't going to happen. If I was in town, then this wouldn't be happening. But I'm not in town. I'll be in Jonesboro for that.
You ought to get on that private plane you got and just go back and forth.
Flying into Batesville or whatever it was you flew into the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to Batesville
Jet
tonight.
Jet setter.
There you go.
Jet setter.
One day we'll be cool enough and Nick will be nice enough to let us use it whenever we want to.
Has nothing to do with being cool, man.
What does that have to do with money?
Yep.
That's all it has to do with.
Always the bottom line.
And one day,
with you, Nick.
Tommy Kraft is going to pay you as much as he pays me. And You may retire if he pays you as much as he pays me.
But even though me may be making more money, still got a long way to go till we get to Tommy money.
Yeah.
If me, we may never get to Tommy money.
Crazy.
Tommy. Might as well push the button. Yeah. we ain't ever getting that level, my brother.
Well, we can always hope and pray, right? Got to have some type of hope.
Yeah. There's goals and there's being unrealistic. Yeah.
Just keep dreaming, boys. Keep dreaming.
Anyways, getting back to what our show looks like today, besides finding referees and officials.
When are we
going to
start the show?
Are we even on the air right now?
Are we on the air?
Jeez. Joe Craddock, the offensive coordinator
Hope not.
Of the Arkansas Razorbacks, will be joining us around 7:35 today. So we're going to talk to him about spring practice and going into the summer. Very interested about that. We'll also have Tom Murphy at 8 o'clock. We'll have Richard Davenport at 8:15. And Tyler Wilson will be coming in studio with us later in the show, too. So we're going to have a packed house.
Wow.
Yeah. We're going to talk football. We got a baseball series that begins with South Carolina. We got a lot to discuss and unwind. Spring football is officially closed. So we got football and fighting to talk about. So all that. And we're going to hear from Chad Morris, who spoke about. Did he really speak? He talked, but I'm not sure he spoke about it.
Talking about the fight itself. Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to put me up on that B-bar right there,
right,
we can hear exactly what Chad Morris had to say about the investigation.
I want to open up by addressing, obviously, an issue that has came about over the last couple of days and that occurred this weekend. And I know our university and our athletic department has issued a statement and on it yesterday. And a review is underway. We're investigating it. Police department here on campus is investigating it. I'm limited in the details that I can go into, but I will tell you that our standard's best, and as I've shared from the beginning with our team and with y'all, that we have high expectations for our players, for our student athletes, and both on and off the field, and. But we're definitely involved in this as far as in there's investigation going on, and with that I'm gonna close with that. But spring has
So what'd he tell you?
You never opened. He said I'm gonna close with that. Thank God for John Neighbors and him being the journalist of the year or the investigator of the year, because we wouldn't have a clue what he was even talking about if it wasn't for you.
Well, I mean, they would. They did issue this statement, yeah. But I mean, you wouldn't have seen the severity.
Now, I'm not saying
if that's all you knew
in
you
the media.
Know
I'm just saying by listening to that, there are a lot of our listeners right now that are so confused on what he's talking about because they weren't paying attention during the part of the show where you talked about the video and all the other stuff. But just by listening to that, you're like, hold on, what? And then you're going to type it in on the computer and your video is going to pop up. So once again, going back to thank God for John Neighbors, or we wouldn't have a clue what this dude was even talking about.
I think that may be the first time that sentence has ever been uttered. Thank God for John Neighbors. Yeah. I can tell you that. But
let me tell you this, and I think Chad Morris will quickly figure this out. You never want Gary Crane to appear in a sports story on Channel 5. Now, who is that? He is what? The captain of the UAPD. You never want him in the 22 to 25 block on the news or whatever it is where sports appears. Because anytime he is in the sports segment in the 10 o'clock news, it's not good.
No.
And last night, who do you have in the sports? You got the captain of the UAPD in the middle of your sports segment. Never a good thing. That's one thing that's got to be part of your standard from now on. We're just not going to have... You know, we're just going to keep our program out of a point where the UAPD captain has to come on and make a statement about something going on with athletics, and particularly the football program.
He's been there forever.
I don't remember a day as a child. He was always sitting behind the bench doing something. I mean, don't ever remember a day him not being there.
Yeah. And also what Chad Moore said later in that press conference, he said that there were players that have been suspended.
He said there were players that didn't practice yesterday.
Yeah, that didn't practice. So
he didn't name names.
Yeah, he wouldn't name names. He wouldn't even. I know that I think it was Tom Murphy, actually, who was kind of trying to find a way to maneuver around in a question to see if he could reveal anything. But no, he said that there. So we know that at least there, as far as the review of the situation has gone, those guys have been held out of practice. So it's they are being punished in a way. He didn't allude to maybe it's just until the investigation concludes or whatever it may be. But I feel like, obviously, regardless of what happens with this investigation, some discipline had to be handed down from Coach Morris, and that's exactly what he did.
You kind of hope they're defensive players, though, don't you? I mean, that's what you really want. You hope it's, you know, your linebackers that are involved in a frat house fracas.
I mean, yeah, if you had a position group, I mean.
It's a good sign if your linebackers are getting involved in a few scrapes here and there.
Yeah, you don't really want it to be your kickers.
No.
Your punters. That's not really going to, it's not really going to make your team show some fight. No,
you're definitely
really.
Glad it's not your quarterback.
Nope. No. I don't want him involved.
No, one of them's already had a little slip up as it is.
And
wide receivers generally aren't fighters. You know, they're finesse guys.
I don't know.
Talkers.
Andre Johnson liked to throw.
They're the guys that want to, threaten to fight, and then when it gets time, they want to make sure their buddies hold them back.
Mm. Greatest moments in sports are always when they get held back from other players by running into the back of their teammates and trying to get held back. But no, I mean, again, we've seen the video, so it's not like we can tell. Oh well, this guy, he looks like probably a tight end. Maybe that was involved. Like, we can't tell what the position they were just by.
Hoping that. Because we need some aggressive players on the defensive side.
Need some
of the
fire.
Ball. Exactly.
Crying out loud. Need some emotion. Get out there and do something.
I'm hoping they're linebackers or something that got involved in this.
Hey, if this is the case, if this is any indication of what the season will hold, then maybe this will end up being a good thing. Who knows?
Maybe.
We can hope.
Yeah. Brought to you by Williams Tractor. Fayetteville, Berryville, Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas, where you can get one of them hustler mowers. Grass is growing. You can already see it growing. Everybody's having to mow that yard already. And if you're tired of your old mower, get the power, strength, and speed of a professional zero-turn mower. Quickly maneuver around all the obstacles in your yard and allow yourself more time. Hustler Turf Mowers for residential begin at just $27.99. Find one at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas.
Coming up next, we're going to talk more about what Chad Morris had to say yesterday to the press.
There was more than that?
More than that, if you can believe it. I know that was the main story, but there's a few more
that
things that we want to get to as well on the other side of the break. This is The Morning Rush.
Honest Razorback talk that never yields. This is The Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Coach Joe Craddock. Coach, appreciate you joining us. How are you doing today?
Absolutely doing wonderful. How are y'all?
We're doing great. And since now that spring practice is coming to an end, we've been able to catch up, of course, with Chad Morris, but I want to hear just from your perspective, general takeaways. How do you feel that the practice went, how your guys responded, how you felt the implement of the new offense is going, just your overall overview of spring practice?
Well, I thought it went really well. I thought we made a lot of progress. Day one to day 15, I think, our guys really wanted to get better. They're tired. They're sick and tired of being 4-8 and hearing all that stuff. And so, when you talk to the team and you talk to the offense, that a lot of heads start shaking yes when it's, we got to get better. And everybody knows that. Everybody wants to know what to do to get better. And that's our job. And we're ironing those things out here at the end of the spring. And really looking forward to getting in the summer ball and those guys go out there and be player-led practices and get them a little bit better in the summer. But overall, very pleased. We got a long way to go to be a championship caliber football team. Told them that yesterday, but really, really happy with the progress we've made to this point and the effort and the attention detail that our kids are trying to give us.
Joe, tell us about the way your career has come about and the relationship with you and Coach Morris. I know you've spent, seven seasons together, and it's really been an interesting story of how you started out, I didn't believe it was a GA with him, and you've worked all the way up to being his offensive coordinator. It's an interesting story of the growth of your coaching career under Coach Morris.
Yeah, I've been really fortunate and blessed to be in the right place at the right time. I was coaching high school in Alabama. To know a guy that had a connection with Coach Sweeney and get me up there to Clemson and allow me to meet Coach Morris, that was just being in the right place at the right time, just being very blessed, fortunate there. And once I got there, Coach Morris didn't know me from the hole in the wall. really didn't talk to me much the first year. But the more we got to know each other, the more I kind of figured him out, and we were able to sit up there late at night, game plan, and really develop a relationship. That's when you started seeing Coach Morris trust me, and you know, I'm up in the box. So it was his eyes in the sky, and you know, I was just telling him things I was seeing, and you know, he kept listening and making adjustments at halftime and all that. And then, you know, we were going to leave to go to SMU. You know, I told him I was going with him. And, you know, Coach Sweeney tried to keep me there and let me coach Deshaun Watson. And but the relationship I had built with Coach Morris, you know, I had to go with him. And I believe in what he's doing. I believe in his vision. I believe in his passion. And so that was an easy decision for me, believe it or not, to go to SMU over, say, at Clemson. So thankfully it all paid out, and here we are at University of Arkansas. So it's been a great deal. You know, I can't thank Coach Morris enough for everything he's ever done for me and the opportunities he's allowed me to have.
You know, Coach, I've been such an advocate over the years of going back to the time that I was playing and then, you know, on the radio and just since I've been done playing and even in the NFL – about the up-tempo style and the game and the way it's changed over the last 10 or 15 years, you know, probably going back to, you know, the early 2000s, then go back to high school and seeing some of the campfire communities that changed the way the game's being played. And you guys are right in the middle of it and will be involved. Talk about maybe the tempo and then, you know, the one-word play calls and kind of the evolution of what we call the spread, hurry up, no huddle offense.
Yeah, well, you know, Tyler, we're trying to get in there. You know, we got to get in there and get our install in first. And then once our install's in, you know, maybe we're calling inside zone a certain play. And you know, what we have to do as coaches is find out what we're good at. What plays, what concepts are we good at? What schemes are we good at? And once we figure those out, what we're trying to do is we try to give them a one-word play call that we call red ball. And that one-word play call tells everybody what to do. It's got a lot of answers built in for the quarterback. I think, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about the interview on TV that I did during the spring game. You know, a lot of those were one-word play calls that gave a lot of answers for the quarterback. You saw, you know, we were running split-flow zone and then Ty threw it out on the perimeter on an RPO. So that's what those things are. They're as fast as we can go, the quickest signal you can have for them. And our guys, when they see that signal, they're trying to line up extremely fast. So the offensive line's getting down, and we're trying to snap it. And here's a little inside information secret. We're literally trying to snap it when the referee that spots the ball, when he's backing off the center, if his feet stop, I'm minusing the quarterback. And so we really want that tempo pushed in those one-word play calls because, again, we're not signaling out a bunch of things. We're not, you know, having to huddle. We're not doing all those kind of things. We're giving one word, and we're trying to line up and play fast and snap the ball. Again, not just trying to, you know, have a blind call where you're running it and into a bad play, but you have your answers built into those. And as long as your quarterback's on the same page as me and he's seeing the same things the defense is giving us, then we should be able to take away some good yards and do some things that's going to hurt the defense.
Coach Joe Craddock, offensive coordinator of the University of Arkansas, is our guest right now in the Morning Rush. Coach, Chad Morris yesterday spoke about the impact that team leadership can have on a team. And he brought up some guys, just from what you've seen from the offensive side of the ball, who are some guys that have really stepped up and have fit pretty well into that leadership role and how important it is to have those team leaders?
Well, you know, it's huge. I know Tyler remembers, you know, in the summer, you know, when you're a player, if you don't have those guys out there, when the coaches aren't around, the NCAA won't allow us to be around. So when we're not around, like, somebody's got to step up. And a lot of times it's the quarterbacks in the summer that really has to push other guys to, you know, hey, don't be out there jacking around. Hey, man, we need to get out here and get our work in. And a lot of that's going to be on those quarterbacks. A lot of it's going to be on guys like Yeldis Roholt, who's by far, to me, been the biggest leader on our team. He's the most vocal guy. He's always on the offensive line and trying to get the best out of his teammates. You know, Austin Cantrell is another guy that comes to mind that, You know, he's a leader by example. We're trying to get him to be out of his comfort zone a little bit more, trying to push him to be more vocal, because I think everybody, when he says something, everybody listens. And so those are some of the guys that really come to mind when you say who the leaders are. And those guys got to have a great summer, and they got to push the other guys to get better.
You're short on bodies on your offensive line, an offensive line that had its challenges last year. Is there anything you game plan or play call differently to kind of alleviate some of that pressure on the offensive line this next year, so y'all can get caught up in the recruiting process to fill some of those gaps with your offensive line?
It is a kind of a scary subject, to be honest with you. Going in the SEC right now in the spring, only having 10 offensive linemen on scholarship and bringing in three. You know, we're constantly looking for guys that are transferring, guys that are, you know, may graduate from junior college. But the thing is, you don't want to just bring a body in here just to have a body, because that's going to hurt your recruiting even more. So we're trying to find the right fit for us. We're trying to find the right fit for Arkansas. And hopefully we can find a couple of those guys. But, you know, I'm really excited about our freshmen coming in as well. You know, those guys, you know, you don't want to have to play freshmen, but hopefully those guys are working hard. They're going to come in here with a good mindset to come in here, compete for a job, and maybe be in a backup role this year. But there's nothing really to change in terms of play calling. For right now, we're trying to run our stuff. And if we had to adjust on the fly, I think that all of us are pretty good at that. All of us have had a little bit of a high school background in this, that you have to adapt to what you got. And so if we feel like that is something that's needed, we'll have to make those adjustments as they come along.
You know, Coach, by no stretch of the imagination do I want to call anything that you guys are doing is simple, because it's complicated in its own way. But with mm-hmm. with high school athletes and them being more involved with this style than maybe, you know, the traditional, which I as a player know I had to regress in year one and two to figure out how to play a different game than I ever played before. And, mm-hmm. you know, to really maximize my potential in year two and three. Does this system allow players to come in and play earlier and play sooner, and you maximize their talent sooner when they arrive on campus?
Yeah, there's no question, and it doesn't hurt my feelings. I mean, it is simple. We try to make it really, really simple for our guys, because if we're recruiting the right way, the way SEC caliber teams should recruit, then we have the scheme that's in place that'll win a lot of games. We just got to continue to recruit those guys and bring those guys in. But again, you know, when you recruit a five-star kid, he might not come from the best program, and has been running a lot of concepts that understand certain things. So, you know, he might have to be plugged in place pretty quickly to help your team win. And so we're trying to make it as simple as possible, not from the standpoint that it's simple plays or it's simple concepts. How we try to name and categorize our plays, we try to make it all make sense. It's not just we just throw a word and, hey, that's Texas. That's a Texas route. Well, what's that mean, you know? And so we try to make everything simple for our guys so that when they come in here, they can learn it as quickly as possible. And again, the players are going to be leading the practices this summer. So when those freshmen get here, all we're going to have out there is the players. And I feel like in just a short amount of time, in 15 practices, that our quarterbacks, I'm comfortable with our older quarterbacks that have been here, really talking to those young guys and helping them out. Because, again, they've been in my meetings every single day. They know my terminology. They know what I'm saying to them on certain plays. So they should be able to regurgitate that back out to those freshmen and get those guys definitely a couple months ahead. So when we hit August, I told them, I said, I don't want to go back to day one install in August. That's ridiculous. You know, we've done it all spring. You guys are going to do it all summer. And so we show up in August, we need to be ready to rock and roll and continue on with our installs. It's made it really, really easy. I feel like we did a really good job. When we left Clemson, going to SMU, we really wiped our terminology out and really started from ground zero and really went and looked and studied and tried to make it all make sense to work. Really and truly, our offensive line get bored at times just because everything's kind of coupled together and everything makes sense for those guys, so they know exactly what they're doing. But I feel like, you know, it's not a bad thing to be simple. I think it's a really, really good thing to be simple, and what we do with to try to mask all that stuff is all of our shifts and motions using our tight ends and all the different things we do there to kind of cover up the same schemes.
Coach, real quick before we let you get out of here, I have a little two-part question for you, more of a fun two-part question for you. One, how do you decide which images to put up on your play cards that you hold up on the sidelines? And two, how do I get my face on one of those cards?
Oh, man, well, if I had to tell y'all that, I'd have to come down there and whoop y'all's butt. But no, it's an interesting deal. We try to always keep the tradition of Arkansas, University of Arkansas football in mind, you know, putting some guys up there I think we had Tyson Foods up there, J.B. Hunt, different things that make Northwest Arkansas. Each one of those things means different things. So when a kid sees those pictures, again, trying to make it all make sense, so J.B. Hunt, you know, with a B in there, it might be a B-gap zone play, a mid-zone play is what we call it. So, you know, each one of those things have a different meaning. And so, you know, if your face doesn't, you know, match up to what we're trying to do, you're probably not going to make the cut. Yeah. But no, we're trying to make it all fun and bring some notoriety too. When, you know, playing on national TV and the ESPN cameras are over there, you want some guys that can be some recruiting tools as well. Some guys that we've had the NFL played here and all that. So anyway, we're just having fun with it, and each one of those things means a different thing. And we just try to keep Northwest Arkansas and University of Arkansas traditions of our football program in mind when we make those cards.
No question, Tyler Wilson will be on one of these soon, right?
I got to get you on there, Tyler.
I got to get up in the film room and break it down and chat with you. I'd love to do that sometime. So.
Yeah, come on.
All right. Coach Joe Craddock, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach of the University of Arkansas. Great stuff, Coach. Really appreciate you joining us this morning. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you later down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks, y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
Hey,
thanks,
anytime. Coach. Fascinating stuff. We'll have some reactions to some of the quotes that Coach Craddock gave us and some things. And I guess I got to work on my face. I got to make it.
Well, they don't have a play call for an interception. He said all those images mean something for a play call.
Tommy.
So they don't have one for a
shut
fumble.
Up.
There's no play call for a fumble.
The Morning Rush. Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
In my role, cause I wanna get it on till I die. In my role, cause I wanna get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
You ever get lucky, Tommy?
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the Boys Club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Tyler Wilson in studio with us today. Appreciate offensive coordinator and quarterback coach for Arkansas, Joe Craddock, joining us on the previous segment. Fascinating stuff that we definitely want to get into. And we're going to get to Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Got to tell you about Williams Tractor, though. Raptor zero-turn mower from Hustler gives you the perfect manicured cut that you want with the power, strength, and speed of a professional zero-turn mower. I quickly maneuver around obstacles with ease, and you can, too. You can allow yourself to maneuver around life's most difficult obstacle as well, which is time. Hustler Turf, quality tools designed to improve quality of life. Williams Tractor. You can find these entire line of Hustler residential and commercial zero-turn mowers at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville, as well as Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers. Let's go to the phone lines as we are joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, appreciate you joining us. Also appreciate you being flexible with us this morning to have Joe Craddock on. So, just going off with the basic question to start off with, summer, spring practices come to an end. You see exactly the spring game. You saw some practices. You've been able to talk to coaches. Your overall assessment from what you've been seeing and writing about dealing with spring practice this year?
Yeah, well, first of all, howdy, guys. Feels like prime time right here, right after 8 o'clock. And
Tyler Wilson in the house. This is big time, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, need your A game. Bring it.
It just feels to me like they got a long way to go, especially offensively. And part of that may be due just to the changing of the system and going faster and these quarterbacks trying to get the hang of it, getting on the same page. And there were so many receivers that they really had to sort through. So a lot of that just kind of feels like they're in the beginning or middle stages of something. I think the running backs are going to be fine, and you probably had Joe Craddock saying just that because he said it last night. They like the combination of speed, power, and agility, and just all the traits that Chase Hayden, Whaley, Malik Williams, and T.J. Hammonds, and then Rakeem Boyd will bring. So, but defensively, and I know you had one of your listeners kind of go off on me a little bit with all caps when I said last on Monday that I thought the defensive line is going to be better. And I'm going to stand by that. I think they're going to be a better defensive line. So whoever you are, man, come at me with all caps again. But I don't hold any illusions that they're going to challenge in the West or anything like that. This is a rebuilding deal. They got to get more talent on the roster. They got to get more physical guys on the back end in the secondary. And they've got to get more speed throughout, as everyone knows. So, as Chad Moore said, he thought it was a B for spring drills in terms of their improvement they made in spring, but a C overall where the program is right now, and that sounds about right.
One thing Chad Morris is having to deal with is his first off-the-field incident. There was an incident over the weekend at one of the fraternity houses. Names haven't been named. I know you were prying, trying to get to that. Some guys didn't get to practice. There's an investigation going on. What more can you add to this conversation?
Well, first of all, there's some video out there, so John Neighbors needs to be applauded for that.
Yeah, thanks.
But one thing I noticed, the Razorback football account yesterday singled out a guy like, hey, look, the bomb squad's here. And so it was Jonathan Nance. And I think that you can tell pretty clearly from that video that Jonathan Nance was there. Doesn't mean anything. He was at a party. But he wasn't one of the guys who missed practice yesterday. So good for Jonathan Nance. And, I don't know the extent of this thing. What you see on the video is looks to me like some college-age guys doing some stuff that's not totally out of the ordinary, and maybe it went inside and escalated a little. But I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of it, and we've seen these things before, and due process will take place, and they'll sort it out.
One thing that I also thought was interesting that Chad Morris brought up was team leaders, guys that have been stepping up, trying to be the leaders, and some of them may have already been there under Brett Bielema. But he mentioned Yelda Froholt, and that's even somebody that Joe Craddock mentioned, about being a leader that's really stepped up. What kind of role do you think he needs to play, especially on a unit in the offensive line that has struggled so mightily the past couple of years?
Yeah, he needs to be that leader that, and as he mentioned it, the torch is passed down. He's talking about the Dan Skippers to Frank Ragnow to now him. And, you know, that O-line has taken a lot of grief the last few years. And, you know, when Sam Pittman was there, they were the lowest SEC team in sacks for 3 years. And then Kurt Anderson took over, and they were not the worst, but 35 per year. That's 70 sacks 2 years. I think there was a graphic late last season that Austin Allen was the most hit quarterback in college football, and so that's not good. And even though I know not every one of those is on the O-line, they take the brunt of that criticism. So they've just got to be better. You know, and I think that with Brian Wallace has been starting for a long time, Colton Jackson, when you bring both your tackles back, there's a value to that. I think those guys will be better. If they can get center and right guard sorted out, and there's still experience at right guard with Johnny Gibson, and he's getting pushed by Jalen Merrick. Maybe they'll be good enough to give these quarterbacks time to make that offense operate.
All right, let's shift the conversation down the road to Baum Stadium. Big weekend series starts tonight, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. South Carolina coming in, another big homestand. Kind of a scare in the midweek game against Grambling State. Arkansas had to rally. Tom, this would have been a disaster if Arkansas had lost to Grambling, a team with an RPI closer to 300. Arkansas finds a way to win. They've got to have better performances, obviously, beginning tonight.
Oh, there's no question about that. And when it was sitting there at 6-3, you're thinking, wow. You know, that's one of those that the whole rest of the nation looks at and goes, what? You know, Grambling's been giving up 8 or 9 runs a game, and all these pitchers with ERAs in the 8s and 9s have shut them down, you know, inning after inning. But they managed to rally, and I did get the word bamboozle in to ask Dominic Fletcher about that yesterday, and he mentioned that the guys they were throwing, he said they had a couple of knuckleballers, and guys were just throwing at speeds that they're not used to, and it was hard to time them up. And the Grambling coach, to his credit, Cooper, brought in a new guy every inning, and that guy would work his one inning, and then they'd move on to the next guy. So they avoided what would have been a disastrous loss, as you said. And in SEC play, though, they've been pretty salty. And Blaine Knight, they haven't lost one of his starts except for the Cal-Poly game. So they've got a lot of confidence going into tonight. Wind's going to play a factor. And I think, if I'm not right, if I'm not mistaken, the wind's blowing from the north right now. So that would mean blowing out, well, I think, is the way it might be tonight.
That'll be huge for him. And also, Tom, I know that you've been covering Razorback baseball for a while now, and it's still a lot of games to be played, a lot of season left. But just top to bottom from what you've seen, how does this team compare to previous Dave Van Horn teams in your mind?
Yeah, well, you know, like the 2012 staff was one of the best pitching staff. It's been just an awesome staff. And I'm not sure if they have that pitching depth, but they do have balance and power in their offensive lineup. That I think it was Matt Cronin or Fletcher yesterday. One of the guys said that they're never out of a game, and it was Cronin. So they were down three runs against Grambling, getting late, and they didn't panic, and they attacked when Grambling brought in one of their frontline pitchers. They scored four in the bottom of the eighth. So that's going to bode well for them. If Isaiah Campbell can kind of reclaim who he can be, that's a huge deal. And I'll tell y'all, Jake Rindle's performance the other day, that was so big, how he performed against Auburn. That augurs very well for what the Razorbacks could be, because if they have pitching depth, they could be a terror in not only a regional, but also in a three-game series like in a super regional. So they have the makings of a team that if they can get clutch hitting and their depth in the pitching staff shows through, could make another run to Omaha.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, always appreciate you joining us, Tom. Great stuff, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yep, my pleasure. Take care, guys.
You as well. No, I mean, that's a good point about the comparison of Dave Van Horn's teams. I mean, they may not have the pitching depth of some of his other teams, but, man, some of these players are just fun to watch. Like Kerstad, I mean, that guy, he's just got to hold his breath every single time he gets up to the plate type of deal. I mean, he's just as impressive as anybody.
I don't know if he's a Benintendi, but he's an exciting player that's kind of come out of nowhere like Benintendi kind of did. I know Benintendi was there a year and then he just exploded, but kind of that same fashion, you weren't expecting this guy to have the explosive season at the plate that he's had.
That's right. I mean, you got him for two more years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if he can continue to develop, who knows what he can turn
exactly
into. Exactly. So, but either way, it's a fascinating conversation. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about Joe Craddock and our interview with him and get to some of the reactions from that interview, as well as Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette to talk a little recruiting. We're going to get to that and more. This is the Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. We're going to get to Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette here in just a second. Talk a little recruiting with him.
Yeah, brought to you by Stonebridge Village in Branson, West Missouri. Perfect condo setup if you're looking for a place to get away. Just 6 miles from the famed Branson 76 Country Music Boulevard. 3 miles from Silver Dollar City. It's a perfect place to take the family. Cheaper than hotels, cheaper than those crowded, cramped rooms you've been paying too much for. It's in a gated community featuring Ledgestone Golf Course, 18 great holes. They got a pool, a kids' pool, restaurant, barn lounge, catch-and-release lake, tennis courts, business center. It's all there for you. Call 800-81-STONE. That's 800-81-STONE. And again, it's on the west side of town in Branson West. So if you're going to Silver Dollar City, this is the perfect place to stay. It's called Stonebridge Village, 800-81-STONE. Night and weekly rentals, 800-81-STONE.
Let's go to the phone lines. We're joined by Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, recruiting guru, you want to call him that, as we're going to get to some football and some basketball. Richard, appreciate you joining us. Let's just start with football. Obviously, the spring game transpired this past Saturday. Coaches couldn't have any contact, but I know you had some contact with the recruits that were there. Overall takeaways from what they saw in the spring game and maybe some updates with some of these guys.
You know, there weren't a lot of guys there, obviously, like you said, because they couldn't interact with the kids. But there was a few key ones. KJ Jefferson, a quarterback from Mississippi, who visited up in Fayetteville on Friday and came down for the spring game. He had a good time, and it just he really just wanted to see the offense, just kind of see how you know, the players interacted with the coaches and things like that. A lot of times these kids, you know, they want to see how the coaches are going to interact with them if they decide to be, you know, a Razorback, and just see how they're coached and things like that. Because some kids, they don't necessarily want to be yelled at a lot, but and that's not always the case with a lot of them. But some of them are kind of want to check that out. But then you had Zach Williams from Joe T. Robinson. He was there. He was just checking out the atmosphere, and obviously he's very, very familiar with Razorback football because his dad played at Arkansas.
Well, just looking at the setup and obviously the transition of going into this new philosophy, new style, that not only just translate on the field but also translate into recruiting. From what you've been talking with these kids about, I mean, are they going after guys that maybe they wouldn't have been able to have a chance at before because of the style that they have, because of the offense or the defense that they're running, or because of their staff? Are you starting to see guys pop up that maybe necessarily Arkansas didn't have a chance at before that they do now?
Maybe more so receivers, because it's obviously a showcases their position. I know that they're on several high-caliber receivers, you know, that are nationally ranked, nationally recruited, and those guys obviously want to play in an offensive feat, showcases their talents, and that you definitely notice the uptick in receivers showing interest, no doubt.
Richard, let's transition into some basketball. Arkansas signs Mason Jones. I think it's a good pickup, especially this late in the game, a bigger guard that could possibly play both guard spots.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a guy that's an interesting story. He's only played 3 years of basketball. He played a senior year in high school, played 1 year at prep school in this past year. And another thing that's kind of intriguing, he at one time he weighed 240 pounds, and he slimmed down to 202 pounds over the last 3 years, and really has improved his game. And he's a guy that, like you said, he could possibly play both, but they're really looking at him as a wing guy, but you know, he's very flexible as far as, you know, what he could play, and he definitely a good replacement for C.J. Jones if you consider what he shot from the three-point line this past season. He shot 43% and 51% from the field. So, obviously, he's got the stroke that you're looking for. So, and he's got the size. He's quite a bit more physical than what C.J. was.
And what do you think they're going to do with this last scholarship? There's a bunch of different ways that they can go. They can bring in a grad transfer, or they can go the route that they went with Mason Jones as far as bringing in a kid that's going to be able to play two or three more years. How do you see this last scholarship playing out?
I'm sure they'd like to add a big, but at the same time, they're going to go with the best available. That could be a grad transfer. It could be a small forward. Could be a bigger bigger guy. So I think it's just about fit and just what they perceive as the best available guy that they could possibly get.
And I know the warm-up is coming up this weekend, but before we get to that, I know that you were able to catch up on some action at Real Deal, and you saw Justice Hill, Isaac McBride. How do you think that duo is going to do playing with each other all summer long?
I think they complement each other very – excuse me, I almost had to sneeze. excuse me. There we go. They complement each other very well. Obviously, Justice is more of a true point guard who can distribute and penetrate and handles the ball very well. And that's something I think is underrated with Isaac. Isaac is, you know, I saw him in Vegas last year handle the ball quite a bit more for the 16 and under Hawks, and he did a pretty good job of doing that. I don't know if he's the caliber of a, you know, point guard as Justice, but You know, he's obviously got an unbelievable stroke from outside. He's just a great outside shooter, but he can do more than just hit it from outside. He can also handle the ball pretty good and go to the basket. But he didn't show it much this past weekend, but he does have that capability.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can also catch him on Recruiting Thursday tonight at 7 p.m. What you got going on tonight's show, Richard?
We're going to have Trevor Roberson on, the 7-foot, 365-pound offensive lineman that's coming in this weekend for an official visit. K.J. Jefferson, the quarterback from Mississippi that I talked about earlier, he'll be on with his coach Diffie, and then Joseph Stone, 6'8", 340-pound offensive lineman, who also coming in for an official visit. And then King DeRue, a highly rated running back from Texas, he'll also be on.
Great stuff, Richard. Appreciate it. Catch up with you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Hey, springtime means camping time. Crabtree RV in Alma wants to make your family's dreams come true. Right now at Crabtree, you can keep your tax refund. Zero money down gets you into the right RV for your next adventure. Be sure and check it all out. Salem Travel Trailers, as low as $138 a month at Crabtree RV in Alma. Exit 13 off of I-40 in Alma.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.